This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. And by Squarespace.com, the fun and easy way to build a high-quality website, and it works for everybody. Go check them out at Squarespace.com, and at checkout, use the code FILMSACK10 and save 20%. At squarespace.com.
Everything I'm about to tell you is considered code black by the NSA. USAC intercepted a radio transmission from a decaying orbit around Neptune. The source of this transmission has been identified as the Event Horizon.
Won't need eyes to see. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack Halloween edition. It is our first Halloween episode of the month of October 2013, and this is episode 180. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Joining me today, Brian, floating globs of CGI coolant Dunaway.
True. I was just having the weirdest, most vivid dream about dinosaurs and a very condescending Jeff Goldblum. Or as I like to call him, Rigger Goldblum. Wait a second. Was I naked when I entered stasis? What's that? No, I don't want any coffee. Wait, did you make coffee just to make sex jokes? Where am I?
Let the non sequiturs fly. Also with us, Randy, that green duct system must have cost a fortune in Motherboards, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Brian. Just want to confirm our installation for you here and get your signature on my invoice. So we installed the full transdimensional Hades class core spaceship engine you ordered. And as specified, we put it right at the end of your mechanical hall of horrors in the round room with the inward facing spikes. Great spike room, by the way. One of the best we've ever seen. And I only lost two technicians to tripping and falling onto one of the spikes. You'll see charges for that on line 17. Question for you. You don't plan to actually activate this thing, right?
Nicely done. And finally, Brian, where he's going, he doesn't need eyes. Ibit.
Isn't naming your ship the Event Horizon kind of like naming a car steer into the skid?
Yes. True. Yes. What a terrible name for a ship. What were you guys thinking? Usually you call them like, I don't know, the USS Enterprise.
Something stupid like the
Endeavor.
The Endeavor. Very nice. Yes. Yeah. Or even something even more, it can be even weirder future-y, but why you got to name it after a thing that's a terrible thing to break through or do.
Right.
Or have happen. It's Event Horizon, Lewis, everybody.
Yeah. Maybe they couldn't get the name.
I was just saying, Lewis and Clark is a pretty dumb name, too, because wouldn't you just have two ships named Lewis and Clark?
Right.
You've used up. You've wasted one name.
I always like to think that movies today, if you pick a new movie name, these guys go out first on like Hover or GoDaddy and try to find a domain first.
Exactly.
And then decide to name it after that.
Right.
Probably not likely. Event Horizon's the film, everybody. Big giant ship. Lots of space madness. Good times had by all. Scott Fletcher has the details.
Event Horizon. 7 years after it went missing, a spaceship sends a garbled signal back to Earth that sounds a lot like a cry for help. A rescue ship is dispatched to investigate, but the crew soon realizes that something unimaginable has happened on board.
I thought he was going to do an impression there for a minute of the garbled sound.
A little bit, but no. Paul W.S. Anderson, not to be confused with
Wes Anderson
or Paul Anderson.
Right.
Or who's the other guy? Paul Thomas?
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, that's the There Will Be Blood in the Ship.
Mr. Anderson.
He's the guy. So if you want to know who this guy is, he directed 1995, just prior to this, movie prior to this, in fact, for his career, was Mortal Kombat, which we've done here on the program. And he was hired to do this, which is why he was not hired to do Mortal Kombat. The combating or whatever the hell the second one was called. It wasn't because he didn't want to do it. He just was like, no, thanks. And he's responsible for the Resident Evil film. So busy guy, does a lot of stuff. AVP, one of the worst things ever. That was his. Mm-hmm. Right. Very hit and miss, this guy. But I'll tell you what. Event Horizon is a personal favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just say why, and then let's break it open. Like a big, sweaty, rotten egg. Okay? I like this movie because it is in a subgenre of film that is one of my favorites, and that is space horror.
Right.
And I didn't know that I was even a fan of this until I kind of did the math in my head and went, what are some of my favorite subgenre films? And it all boils down to stuff like Alien. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff like Alien. It's not as good as Alien, but it's not as bad as other things. It's no Leviathan. Let's put it that way. It's no, right. It's no The Core. It's no,
what?
The Core is not quite the thing, but what's the other one I'm trying to think of? What's with the Samuel L. Jackson getting eaten? That's the underwater one. It's basically the same idea
deep,
though.
Deep Impact,
Mother deep Rising. Impact.
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea. Thank you. What's Deep Rising? Hold on. That's another thing, isn't it?
That is another thing. I don't know what it is. I thought it was, I was like, is that the name of it? But there was something called Deep Rising.
Deep Event Rising is the movie. Yeah, so I love that stuff. Like, you couldn't make enough of these movies for me to watch.
Well, and we've this isn't the first we've seen on FilmSack, right? We saw Jason X,
yeah.
Which was
bad.
Was awfully good. We saw Life Force. You might remember Life Force.
Yeah, we did. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
That was, yeah. That was pretty good. It is only a matter of time before we see Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Streaming, yeah, I believe. Happen. I think
it's streaming. I would actually compare this film the most strongly for me to a previous FilmSack episode, which was Hellraiser. It really struck me as having a lot to do with Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm. Was it because
that's a good point? Yeah,
Sam. Because was it because he had the scratches across his face? Sam now had the
some of that, but don't you think it's kind of a Clive Barker piece of?
It feels very Clive Barker. I actually wrote in my notes who designed this ship, Clive Barker.
Yeah, like, definitely pleasure as pain or pain as pleasure, like that kind of stuff.
Right, sadomasochistic and spikes and.
As we've already been making fun of, and we're going to talk about more, like I was shocked that no one got thrown onto any of those spikes.
Oh, I was disappointed. Totally.
They even had one opportunity where somebody was falling, or two opportunities where people were falling in that specific room, and neither one of them hit the spikes.
Yeah, the one lady who's a great trope, by the way, and I'll hit the trope thing now. The one that did fall off and just kind of broke her legs and landed in the water there and bloodied it all up, because she kept seeing her son. She's a trope because there's always these two kinds of girls in space horror movies or space madness movies. And there's the really cute one, and then there's the kind of frumpy mother one. Mm-hmm. And she was the frumpy mother one. Not unattractive, but if she was at home, you could see the hygiene she might be wearing in the minivan she's taking kids to soccer in. And you know what I mean? And they always die. They never make it. The aliens had these women in it. All the aliens movies had some form of this lady in it. And I, you know, when she fell, I thought, oh, the spikes, time for the spikes to do their job. We spent good money on those, the time to get those, some use out of those. No, nothing.
Nope.
I don't know what the problem was. Why have them in the first place?
I was pretty sure when he had to pull, when Lawrence Fishburne had to pull, what's her face, through the door that one time, she was going to get.
Oh, right.
Right. Chopped in half by the doors. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because
who put those spikes? It's such a crappily designed ship. I mean, what the hell was Sam Neill thinking? I know it's his gateway to hell, but
sure. I would really like to. I'd like to hear Scott Fletcher because I want to talk about so many tropes in this thing, and the doors are a huge.
We did play that though. You just forgot.
I'd like to hear Scott Fletcher again.
You want to hear it again?
I'd like to hear it twice.
Here's the first part.
Event Horizon.
There you go. That's it.
I might have been getting another glass of Scott. I apologize.
Randy will listen in post. Don't worry.
What the hell is up with the tropey doors? How is it not a fact that doors on spaceships just open and close at a normal speed? Mm-hmm. And when you want them to open or close, you don't have to wait for an hour. What? Why is it? Why is this? It's so contrived in these movies.
Yeah. Well, can they put the same mechanics in there that's in my dang garage door where if it bumps into something, it opens back up? Is that
exactly
you'd want
elevator?
On a spaceship?
Yeah.
I had this problem with my recent reviewing or rewatching of Battlestar Galactica, the Ron Moore version, and every doorway had It's not just a doorway. First of all, they're big, giant, clanky, sort of, you know, under, almost like a submarine door.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and that's fine. But the biggest problem is you open those things up and there is a foot and a half of floor clearance you got to make.
Right, right.
Just to get into the room. So they had to create these giant step over things and a thousand opportunities to fall and break your arm and, you know, smash right. your glasses or whatever, mm-hmm. which they never show, of course. But science fiction has a way of doing this. Even Star Trek hallways are rife with OSHA unapproved stuff going on, you right. know, in OSHA yeah. or in space, there is no OSHA. That's the motto.
No, no you'd think yeah. there would be. Right. I'm surprised we haven't seen a movie yet where the doors are actually just razors. You
know? and a big part of all of the tropes when it comes to spaceship design and like what I was talking about in my greeting
yeah.
is the fact that they just blow right by the problem of gravity by giving you the trope of gravity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we're floating around, and sometimes we're just walking in normal, perfect one Earth G, yeah, right?
Right.
And it and it always works exactly as you expect it to, which is so convenient.
Yeah.
So convenient. Like, well, how did they design this thing? Did they design it to float around, or did they design it to walk? Give me
I like a ship with the iris style door. So the ones that, man, like if you don't like get your ass out of the way, you are
Stargate, yeah.
like the James Bond opening
yeah.
camera.
It's like a shrunk like a lens. Yeah, exactly like a lens. And it's always razor sharp steel. The ship's always going, wah, wah, wah. You have 10 minutes to minimum safe distance. And you barely get a half a butt cheek through that thing before it shuts.
None of their fail-safe devices work in this ship at all. It's like, yeah, we've started that going. What's going to happen now? Nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
Fail safe has failed.
Right. All the fail safes have failed, but somehow giant rotating ball of hell gateway continues to work without any problem. It's all good down there. Good engineering there, Sam Neill. Didn't mention the cast, Sam Neill, Lawrence Fishburne, who I liked quite a bit in this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kathleen Quinlan,
mm-hmm.
who I thought she was, who am I, who was, wife? Somebody was, oh, that's who, okay, that's who she is.
Right.
I just heard you say somebody was purr. It was great. Somebody was purr.
Somebody was purr. No. That's where I saw her. That's it.
You're right. I actually like Kathleen Quinlan
She's
a lot.
Great.
More than Jolie Richardson for the the ship's hotness. That on the ship. She's, you know, she's frumpy and stuff, but in everything else you've seen her, and she's a lot better looking.
Sure, and she's a good actress.
Made up, yeah,
yeah.
I was too busy looking at Sam Neill and his spandex to worry about Kathleen or Jolie. Come on.
But still, shockingly, this movie somehow gets full points on the Bechdel test. Not only does it have two women, and not only do they talk to each other, they talk to each other about something other than a man. Coffee, I think, is what they mentioned.
No, they were still talking about that guy's penis when they were talking about coffee.
Really, really, that's true. Penis, that's yeah. true.
Still a penis.
You're right. Maybe it doesn't get full points, but really, really shocking. Like I expected this film to do less with women, and of course, it has the greatest use of a token black guy ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne was so token.
No, not him. The other guy.
No, that's what makes it so great.
The Eddie Murphy guy.
Right, it's a movie.
I totally gave me an Eddie Murphy vibe.
It's a movie with a token black guy and a black leading character. That's really hard to pull off.
Sure, I think Fishburne commands your attention, though. The guy is he's awesome. He's Morpheus. I mean,
you can't have him in this film and not make him the captain because
he's Morpheus.
Any other character, he'd be like, oh, that guy should have been the captain.
Absolutely. How's he going to take orders? He's the man. I agree. There's some interesting character studies in this. Lawrence Fishburne's captain is fantastic. Dr. William Weir, who is played by Sam Neill. Sam Neill is the de facto science explainer guy to me.
Yeah,
He did it fantastic in Jurassic Park. And I think that's the reason why he lands these parts is because – you know, he explains how they travel through time and space, and he just
he's great.
He makes you just believe it.
If you want to see him,
he's really creepy when he gets to be bad A.
Yeah, 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 with all that makeup and stuff. If you want to see a good Sam Neill role that you probably didn't know he was in or missed, he's great as this cardinal character in the first few seasons of The Tudors, which generally The Tudors is kind of like. You know, we're just going to make a really well-filmed soap opera and dress it up in, like, old king times. And it'll, but still, really at the core, it's kind of a soap opera. It's really not that different. Right. But Sam Neill is really great as this conniving, trying to work his way up the chain to Pope, cardinal dude in that. And yeah, if you want to see him, do something different.
He's real hard to read, but he's hard to read as far as what's his motivations.
Yeah, yeah.
I start watching The Tudors, right? Yeah. And I'm like really into it. And I'm going like Jonathan Rhys Meyers. Oh, he's so great. This is just perfect. And somebody at like two episodes into this series, a friend of mine goes, yeah, you know, he dies at the end.
Thank you.
Well, he's King Henry. He's King Henry, so Henry VIII.
Okay. All right, I never watched another episode, and I'm going to tell you why.
Did you just do the same thing to us?
Right.
Of course, King Henry VIII dies at the end of this TV series. Sure, of course, sure. Of course. But knowing that,
they made him a cyborg, and he lived on.
It completely eliminated all possibility of other things. Like, for example, imagine if the Tudors ended with an alien invasion. Holy shit!
Well, yeah. That would have been
not gonna happen, but that's a possibility until you rule it out. Yeah. And I suddenly didn't care anymore.
Weren't we talking about this a bit the other day about TV shows do this? They used to and they don't do it anymore, where the Dukes of Hazzard end up with an alien in the backseat of the car.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. Or Mork and Mindy visit the family like on Happy Days. Like nobody does that stuff anymore. The Tudors would have been, having seen the entirety of the Tudors, I can say with some authority that if the last episode would have been something like that, I would have preferred the entirety of the Tudors.
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, really. And imagine if all throughout the entire series they were sprinkling little hints and there were like conspiracy theorists going, I think this thing is going alien. And you're all, no, it's not going to go alien. And then blam.
So Guy, loving this movie and I love in everything. And I kept referring to him as Lucius Malfoy as he went about his business, as Jason Isaacs, as DJ.
Right,
he's basically like ship's doctor, kind of, right? Sort of science medical man.
Kind of, yeah.
Right.
I just want to say, I'm going to say this out loud and proud. I don't think there's anything I've ever seen him in that I did not enjoy at least his part in. That guy's awesome. He's one of my he's one of my go-to kind of, oh, he's in this? And everything got better.
Yeah, he's got a very quiet, cool to him, especially in this film, except when he's calming somebody down by putting a knife up to their throat. But other than that, he's got a nice, quiet, cool.
That always relaxes me. That just chills me right out. It does. Exactly.
Okay, all right, you're right. I was wrong. I kind of overreacted a little bit.
And that's another guy I like, Sean Pertwee.
He's English people.
He was in Equilibrium, if you recall. Main bad guy in that, I think. The one that they thought was the main bad guy or something.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, too. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Never get tired of that guy.
Is he related to the doctor? The Pertwee doctor?
Dr. Pertwee.
John Pertwee?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Yes, the son of John Pertwee.
I'm looking. There we go. Okay.
Who is John Pertwee? Born John after something. Is it Chelsea in London something? He was a... Well, he was one of the Doctor Who's.
He was one of the Doctors, yeah. And then Doctor.
Oh, when you said Doctor, I thought he was like some famous physician. No.
You know, Dr. Pertwee. Yes.
Oh, that's cool, dude. How'd you like your dad to be one of the original old fart doctors? That's great.
Oh, then you'd never stop hearing about it.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, how about you don't bring that screwdriver to dinner every day, huh?
I get it enough from people who just watch the show. I can't imagine living with somebody who was actually on it.
Yeah, who's no longer with us, by the way. Sean is. His dad's not.
Yeah.
The doctor has moved on. There's only two more left or whatever. How's that work? There's only nine doctors. Isn't that the deal? They can only, after one dies.
Come on, really?
Well, they're on the ninth now.
We're going to really stick to comic book logic? I don't know.
Well, they're on the ninth now, and somebody asked him, are you guys concerned about that? And they're addressing it. Like, they're actually saying stuff. But here's what they'll do. Here's how they'll address it. There'll be an episode toward the end of whenever this new guy's run is, where they'll go, brap, they figured out a way to get the exterminate, walked up, poked him in the butt, and gave him nine more lives. Who knows what?
Oh, he meant 90. We read that wrong.
Oh, yeah, the zero was scratched out that time in that episode in the 50s. Yeah, it's all crap. Whatever. Look, I love that Doctor Who is a thing and that it exists and the fandom is so rabid, but I've not watched any of the new stuff, so I can't speak to any of it. I'm an uneducated participant in this conversation.
So you've been running down the cast list, and you're left with the two people who are the most entertaining in the whole movie.
If you're talking about the Eddie Murphy guy, then I'm
not fantastic.
No, he's not. He's terrible.
I love his character.
No, Richard T. Jones is amazing. He's an amazing actor. The way he plays this character is nuanced, surprisingly. Because if you just step back from it, you're like, wow, this is like J.J. from Good Times in Space.
Yeah.
No,
that's my problem with it.
It's not. And his Richard T. Jones, by the way, is Governor Denning in the current Hawaii 5-0. I don't know if you.
Oh, no. I haven't watched any of that. No. Hmm. He's in a bunch of stuff. That guy's busy. Look at this stuff. He's in the new Godzilla.
That's
exciting.
He was in, hold on.
He was in Super 8. If you, I don't know if you noticed.
He was Doctor. He was the Doctor Overmeyer guy.
Projector.
Yep.
Running the projector.
That's a late blooming joke right there. Thank you.
Oh, and he was in Terminator, the Sarah Chronicles. Mm-hmm. He was in that for a while. That show that was so hard to say every time.
He was in Phone Booth, Collateral.
Yeah, he's great.
You see, he is a constant character actor, and I think he's really good. And I think he's really good in Event Horizon. It brought a levity to the movie that it desperately needed.
Was great.
I don't think he was good in this at all.
And I love the idea of a character pretty much being his only reason to exist is to save everybody's butt when they get in trouble. I mean, that's pretty much his
too.
Yeah, and I love it. But he's so good at it. I mean, he even when he gets blown away into space,
look,
he like finds
a
way to get back.
If I close my eyes, I was basically listening to that donkey from Shrek. That's basically it.
Well, okay, but I mean, he had the best line in the movie. Want something hot and black inside you?
Yeah, that, okay, that sure. Awesome. Sure, if you're, yeah, I suppose
okay,
that was
how
the
about
best
some
line.
Coffee?
He was all right, but his very convenient survival strategy kind of just drove me nuts. He should have been gone. I haven't seen Gravity yet, but from what I've heard, there's no way.
What? I love the fact that he wasn't getting killed. I loved it.
It's a huge trope in these kind of movies anyway.
Is
right?
It?
Like, the huge trope of the whole thing is that we all go together on this ship, and then for some reason we just split up.
Yep, one at a time.
And the bigger trope to me is the fact that Satan incarnate is at work here and toying with everybody, right?
Right.
So you really don't have – it doesn't matter what you do. You either get toyed with or you don't, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could just go to sleep. You could climb into a cabinet. You could get in a spacesuit and go outside. It doesn't really matter what you do, right? It's all the pure trope of whatever the evil entity decided.
Right. Wouldn't you guys have liked to have seen some of that evil entity business with its original NC-17 rating, just to see what pushed it over the edge, because who knows how bad things must have been. I thought it was pretty rough as it was, but somebody told me, it was one of you guys, I think, maybe not, somebody told me that they watched the movie recently and paused it during the kind of weird hell flash forwards.
Right, the orgy
And said it looked really stupid. Like, I expected him to come back to me and go, oh, yeah, that stuff was really bad. It's so good they only showed short blips of it, or else, man, that would have haunted you for days. And he says when he watched it, he paused it at every one of those, and they all looked like bad garage makeup.
Okay, but, I mean, was everyone just taken aback at the effort that must have been put in to making those little flashes?
Oh, sure.
It was like while they were making this movie, someone was making a whole other movie just to be used for a total of 4 seconds of screen time.
I mean, it's – and all the special effects that had to get used for that, all of the blood, all the – you know, all right, oh, I'm an actor. I'm in this movie for literally less than half a second.
Yeah.
My only explanation for how that was possible is that maybe the filmmakers bought another film, right? Like maybe they went and found some horrible little horror movie that no one's ever seen and took shots from that to put those things together. It was just remarkable. Like,
well, I'm interested in seeing an Event Horizon 2 anyway to follow up with what is over on the other side, because you know the ship disappears into the black hole with Lawrence Fishburne, but they don't really say what happens.
Yeah, no, they leave a lot of questions when they find him in the cryogenic again, and are they okay, are they not okay, where are they, and they don't really answer any of that. I think I prefer it that way, though. I don't. When you go to the other side, you have the problem the original Stargate movie had, which was this great first half of mystery and discovery and whoa, dude, what if the ancient Egyptians saw these aliens and that's these gods they set up because they're clearly their power and their superiority was so much that all they could be to them was gods. And that's fascinating. And watching David Spade figure it all out is really interesting and watch the military kind of be dumb about it. And then they get over there and you're like, oh, well, this part's dumb. Like, I don't want to, I like that stuff being held back from me. And I like right. being left wondering, you know, what the H, I mean, you can pull this stuff off with the Alien series because, you know, it's a known quantity. They're these big xenomorphic things that you got to fight and kill and do whatever. And they led into each other well. And again, I'll just make the statement just for the sake of it. I don't hate any of the Aliens movies. I don't like the AVP mm-hmm. stuff so much, but the Aliens proper films 1 through 4, I think they all have strengths and I enjoy all of them on their own terms. And they have this, that common thread is alien threat comes in different forms mm-hmm. sometimes or whatever, but it's still this constant common
and
threat.
And you can't wait to see it and you're not seeing it. And yeah. then finally you see a little bit of it and it's scary as hell.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't ever give you anything like that. Instead, it deforms the actual characters that you already know.
Correct. And it's still a mystery when things end. So you can't really go, all right, now next one we're taking the war to hell directly or whatever. That's fine, I guess, as a concept.
I'd watch that.
They just rarely work out. To me, it's like George Lucas explaining the Force with midichlorians. It's like, well, you didn't have to go that far. We were okay with what our imagination right. did with the rest. You didn't have to explain that. I worry a sequel to this. If anything, I'd just call for, maybe we're too soon for it, but I'd call for just a straight up hardcore remake of this. I would enjoy that.
So right. I was mm-hmm. reading about this movie getting an initial NC-17 and then coming back with a different edit. And my understanding that what I took away from that was that the big deal was the scene where Sam Neill's character spends time with his wife, Claire, as she's committing suicide.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And apparently the way it was originally scripted had them having sex and it's gory and there's like cannibalism sex and so on. Mm. And they had to come all the way back to she's wearing underwear and they don't really do anything except talk, you know? And so you kind of get the feeling like, wow, that's a completely different scene. Like, you know, like right. the one is him being forced to experience the emotional torture. And the other is just torture, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like maybe this is better.
I think this would be better than that.
I agree.
Sure.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Little lighter touch on stuff. Again, it's the right mix for me. It's the right mix of, ooh, wow, what did I just see Chris Isaacs do with his guts? And here we are in space. So like this big floating, it's another thing I really like about space madness movies. It's never shiny. Battlestar Galactica Viper looking ships. Right, it's big, right. weird, oblong. Because who cares mm-hmm. in space? There's no resistance.
Right.
So fly
anything
you want.
Right. Exactly.
So to me, it's like what did Boba Fett's ship? What was that called? Slave One.
Slave One. Mm-hmm.
It's like the Slave One concept, or even the Millennium Falcon concept. Just put a big old, you know, turd shaped rock in space, and that's just as good a ship as anything else. So I like that the Event Horizon is this big, spooky. Lots of scaffolding and weird stuff hanging off it. In fact, there's some trivia that says if you look really closely, some of that lattice work and antenna work on top of that thing, a big chunk of it is an actual X-wing model.
Really?
That was put in there as a Easter egg. And you can see it if you slow it down and look real close. But that kind of thing where it's just a big, scary, cavernous, dark grays and blacks, like that is so much fun for me.
I would agree with you for the most part. I still think it's a really poorly designed ship with this, you know, a big chunk here, a big chunk over there, and then the thinnest of connections between the two. Any unplanned meteor, comet, satellite, whatever.
They put explosives in there so they could separate the ship, whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. No, you make a good point, and I thought about that. And I think that's just design.
What's the point of having it that long? Like, geez, well, it actually needs to conform to this length. So I don't know. Let's just put we'll just put a whole big chunk of lattice work.
Well, that's a good point. I think the idea was that it was supposed to be a lifeboat with zero propulsion other than explosions. So I think it was designed intentionally. That's the way I justify it.
Well, it's a science vehicle, and I wasn't sure. I don't think that answers enough. Like, if you really had to say, like, why this giant thing you had to walk down to even get through, like, what else does it do? It's just a hallway.
Wah, 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 wah,
so, sure, you separate your thing from your thing with it because it has all the explosives built in for some such an occasion.
Sure,
but
sure.
But it's just giant. It really is just a giant walkway with, like, no conveyor belts or any way to speed it
up. Right, yeah. You would have ropes and pulleys.
Yeah. So what's the point? I agree. Totally agree. But as a design aesthetic, works for me on that level. If they could have fleshed that out some more and made it seem like more useful than just...
Yeah, I would love about 30 more minutes of Samuel explaining that. Thank you.
But this movie did have the trope of the cryo sleep, which I love.
The cryogenic sleeper. That whole thing is great.
Every movie that does that, like the freaking Avatar starts with it, I'm like, yes, give me this trope. I love this because we get to script around big gaps in time.
Right.
I love that.
Aliens does it. Like, I love the whole the whole idea. Okay, this is another Sunshine. Everybody does this. By the way, Sunshine is one of my other favorite ones ever of all time. I almost forgot to mention that one. But they all do this, and they have this cryo space where here's a grittier, more realistic space where the corporation's running everything, and to get to far places, Picard just can't stand up and go to warp factor 5, number 2, and everyone gets there in 5 seconds. It doesn't work that way. It's like, no, it's going to take us about 8 months. So get in the damn tube, Sam Neill, and relax. Like, that stuff's great to me. I like when everything's treated more like space truckers than it is, luxury liners. I really prefer that notion of space, at least in my movies. But I can tell you, I do like a little bit of luxury when it comes to how I build a website. Thank goodness there are people like Squarespace out there to help me do that. Squarespace is the easy way to build an awesome website. You want to sell something, you make something really cool, and you want to get it into the hands of people? Great. They've got you covered. You're trying to build a website to build kind of a fan base or build a podcast, whatever it may be, Squarespace.com has the tools you need to do it simply, easily, and fast. All responsive design, so that means whatever you build on the desktop, it's going to look great on mobile and vice versa, which is nice because we live in the era of mobile, and that's just the way things are. Thankfully, they are way ahead of the curve in this regard, and they're updating this stuff all the time to give you the fast and easy tools you need and expect from a great company like Squarespace. Go build a fantastic website today. No credit card required. Just sign up, try it out, see what you think. And if you decide to stick with it, there's a way for you to save some money. 20%, in fact. Let me tell you how you do it. You literally just go to squarespace.com and enter the offer code FILMSAC10. That's FILMSAC10 at squarespace.com. Save a little money, 20% off, and build a fantastic website today. Today's episode also brought to you by Audible.com. Audible, the best in audio entertainment when it comes to books, periodicals, and more. Over 150,000 titles to choose from. And right now, you can get a free audiobook right now from Audible.com by simply using the code, or I guess it's not a code, just use this website. Go to audiblepodcast.com/FILMSAC. It's been the same one we use for a long time, so you should know it by heart. That's audiblepodcast.com/FILMSAC and get, something cool like the Hugh Howley book, Wool. The whole series is up there. I love the Wool series. Totally into it. First book narrated by Amanda Sale, and it's fantastic. Part of the Silo Saga, book 1. Here's a taste.
Holston turned around and around, taking it in. He had a sudden memory of his wife doing the same.
Oh, man. So good. Just hearing those words makes me excited to hear it again. I love that book. You'll love it too. But you can get any book, that or any other book, absolutely for free. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/FILMSAC. Do it today. So what I was saying about the kind of spaceship I need when I get there, I don't need carpet and well lighting. I need like dirty metal.
I like it when it looks like an office building myself. That's fantastic.
Anyway, I don't know what that is. I think that's a certain thing, but whatever that thing is, to me, it's like deserts or post-apocalyptic stories in the same way. There's a certain kind of aesthetic to that that speaks to me directly, and the movie can be kind of bad, and I'm still kind of on board.
I feel like the more of these classic space tropes you recognize in a movie, the more it's suited for it to take itself seriously.
Yeah.
Like Sunshine was kind of this way too, but like, I love the score for this movie.
Yeah.
Right up until the very end.
I even liked the hip hop at the end. I loved it.
Yeah.
That song is called Funky Shit.
Nineties, man. Nineties.
But But like, I like that. I like that whole thing where the score is rising and falling, and I am distracted a little bit from the artificial gravity problem.
Right,
you know,
right? Yeah, like, no, that stuff's great. And they designed again, according to internet trivia, who knows if it's true, but the Event Horizon was modeled on Notre Dame's or Notre Dame, if you want to get nerdy about it, the cathedral. Long corridor resembles a church nave, and its interior is filled with what they refer to here as cruciform shapes.
Mm-hmm. Right,
columns
right,
like and vaults, that. like crucible, like cross stuff and all that.
Right, yeah, that front windshield they had was a big old cross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the engine resembles sort of rotating church towers. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there that speaks directly to kind of medieval design aesthetics. And that's great, man. Just big, empty, horrible space if something goes wrong. If things are going well, like the videos of the crew before, like going, yeah, look at us doing our job, and the captain couldn't be happier, and I'm working with the best bunch of people ever. 2 minutes later, he's holding his eyes in his own hands, and everybody else is eating each other. Love that. Oh, my gosh, that I love
scene
that.
That scene was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really great. And when they finding, you know, clues, like, I feel like these have all been done in other movies, because I think they have. Oh, but
plenty of times in any sci-fi movie where you have to figure out what happened to the crew before us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, even far as back as like early Star Trek, when they find all those white, salty people, and they're like, what happened here?
Right.
Yeah, what do you call that? What trope is, what we name that? It's got a name, doesn't it?
Yeah, the guys before us.
The guys before us trope. What has come before trope?
It definitely has a very Dead Space video game kind of feel to it.
That's why I love Dead Space.
You knew it was a trope because immediately Lawrence Fishburne put a timeline and said, okay, we don't want what happened to them happen to us, signifying that it's a reoccurring event and it's not going to be something that just happens one time.
Right.
And so, yeah, that always kicks off those whole idea of what happened to the crew before us. It's going to happen to us.
Yeah, but I'm glad you brought up Dead Space because I think that is just a straight-up homage to these things.
It totally is. All you need is the meat grinder tunnel to walk through. another awesome. Great, you know, great design.
What is that about?
Whatever you do, don't just fall, you know, don't reach up, or you can't reach your arm over there or else.
Yeah.
And they kind of comment on it when she's they're walking down the first time. It's like, what the...
Well,
are you kidding me?
If for whatever reason, those things just grab a hold of my imagination and won't let go. And it's a thing my wife can't stand. She won't watch these movies with me. They freak her out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's the way I am. Like, I can't do Paranormal Activity or any of these found footage horror movies. I just can't do them. Mm-hmm. They scare me.
I'm here to tell you, though, they're not really that scary. Like,
the idea is more scary than the actual film, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm disappointed when I watch all the Paranormal Activity movies. Like, the whole time, I'm just like...
It's always implied up until the
very end. There's lots of that kind of thing, and you're like, wow, that could have been way worse. Like, if they would start having somebody dragged out of the room against their will earlier in the movie...
Right.
And go from there, I would be a lot more scared. But instead, there's just a lot of silence and heard a door slam shit.
Yeah.
Because usually by that time, I'm like, I'm just like, whatever. I don't care what happens to you. You know why? Because you've had all this creepy crap happen for like the last hour and a half and you're still there. You deserve what you get. Thing.
Why does no one ever script a really, really compassionate family into this thing where you're like, oh, I'm rooting for these people because they're so in love and their kid's so cute and there's, you know what I mean? Like,
it's always like horrible people who deserve everything they get.
Exactly. what was Insidious was the only one that I found fairly entertaining.
I've not seen that at all. That's what, a couple years old now?
New one just came out.
Last year.
A month ago.
Is it just a year apart, those things? Sounds right. Is it the one with, name? Finding old Super 8 tapes of some family hung with, what's his name? Dazed and Confused guy, whatever his name is.
Got his name. Hold on a second. Patrick Wilson.
Patrick. I'm thinking of something else then. I'm thinking of the one with...
You're thinking properly, though, because that's the one where he finds the old tapes in the first one.
Oh, he does. Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong movie. I don't know what I'm thinking up there, but the finding of old footage, or here's what freaks me out, and I know it's all BS, but I'll see these photos of like... In 1973, Gilda what's-her-name was in her car driving, and there's a guy behind her in this photo. Clearly, that is her husband who died 2 weeks earlier. Those kinds of things, I know they're crap, but the actual photos freak me out.
Dark blur human shape.
Yes,
on the lens.
I don't like that at all. And I know, and even the most fake ones are still a creep factor of like, there's this cat who was has been dead for 30 years, but there it is in the background with his eyes all glowing. And, I don't like that.
Right. Oh, and, my God, that's Nicolas Cage.
Right. But space madness with, you know, hallways that could grind you up and spit you out. I'm good with all that. It's not, not a problem.
So, I mean, this is probably the first example for me in my life of where I saw a movie and then I sat and contemplated the concept of cosmic horror. Mm. You know, like the the thing. With the movie The Thing?
Yeah. Where, same reason I love The Thing. Same reason.
All these movies that you guys are bringing up, I liked so much more than Event Horizon.
Oh, really? We never really got to the point here. Like, let's go around
hold
the table.
No, I want Randy to finish his thought about the cosmic horror thing.
Yeah, cosmic horror.
Just like we keep – these movies are – they're not actually that common, but they're always troubling because how do you really get to the humanity and the interest – in like if you think too hard about Pacific Rim, right?
Don't, like don't.
But you see what I'm saying? Like the kaiju, they are so much bigger and better and stronger and powerful than we are. Like that's kind of the point of cosmic horror, to set you in your place. You are just a speck.
Yeah.
Like that at ultimately I'm like, oh, that's not really entertaining. And I tried and tried and tried to not let that happen with this film, but ultimately like my final conclusion was cosmic horror. Oh yeah, so there is a hell, and there is a you know this evil force that got out and got on the ship. What you know? Next stop, Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is the next step, yeah. Right?
So right, that would be the follow up movie, or even the remake would probably do something.
So
like
I have
that,
very fond feelings for this movie. So when I saw it again, I will admit I don't think it holds up as well as I thought, or maybe I've changed enough where I don't. It wasn't as hard hitting or wasn't as satisfying as when I saw it in the 90s. However, I think there are far worse wastes of my time than watching Event Horizon again. I think it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of these good things I like about it. There's a couple of problems. I think the way the thing sort of resolved and the kind of the fight in the pond with Sam Neill's just a little two-dimensional and tropey, but there's a lot of things in there to like. But Ibbot, you liked all those other isolated...
Yes.
Because they all have this in common. The Thing's a great example. It's got the same vibe.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I love The Thing, love Dead Space, the game, you know, all these other things that we're comparing it to, I really like. What I'm guessing I'm not liking about Event Horizon, because it took a long time for me to try and figure out what it was specifically that I didn't like, because I like the actors. I thought the acting was great. I thought the story in and of itself was good. I don't really care for the whole being possessed by a house or being possessed by a ship or being possessed, you know, that stuff, unless you give a really good explanation for why it's happening. I can't hold it.
That's better done when it's satire. Don't you think that kind
I think
of thing?
So. Yeah.
When a house is thinking for itself or a ship or whatever, if you're going to be a little funny with it, I think that's better.
Well, you get to have a lot of comic relief and stuff like that, even when you take yourself really, really seriously, because you've minimized the horror down to something small enough that we could end it with a match.
Yeah.
You know, strike one match and the house gets burned down.
To me, it wasn't the ship so much that was possessed, though, in this. It was, my own interpretation of it. I walked away going, my favorite bit about how that ship acted as a gateway was literally the gateway. So when you sent Jimmy John down through that thing, what was his name? Jack.
Justin.
Played by Jack Noseworthy, Teddy Bear.
$10. How much did you pay your fee? $50 to get your name changed, right?
Right. Please do that. Noseworthy, jeez. But gets sucked in there, and when he comes back, he is so space madness. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And how to deal with those people and what's going on in their heads. Like this lobotomization of people when they go to the other side and come back. That's interesting to me. And I got more out of that. Never really thought about the ship as being, you know,
the possessor,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I think that came from, you know, Julie Richardson seeing her, or no, it was the other one, Kathleen Quinlan seeing her son and all these other hallucinations that the crew members were having, who hadn't even come in contact really with the ball other than, you know, only a couple of them were in that room when it first went off, or when were around it when it went off, when they were exploring the ship.
Right.
So I was treating it more as like the whole ship got kind of that possession role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I totally see that, and I think you're probably right. I just kind of chose to, like, the ship was clearly like king of the hill here, and everybody else was just falling to its whims.
And it's kind of something in the movie's favor that that's not fully explained. That it doesn't. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They don't go too far. Like you spend the movie.
It'd be really easy to solve that problem. Just boom, bye. All right, there's all the.
See ya. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Know what else they never have on ships? You always should bring some extra CO2 filters or scrubbers, because every time you get on a ship that's been out somewhere, as always, you got to get some.
Got to get some scrubbers, dude.
Get some scrubbers.
Which leads me to something, man, we almost forgot to talk about. How were the graphics?
They were moments of, hey, that's not bad for that year. And then you'd see the blood and go, ooh, that blood's dumb looking.
Right.
The floating stuff.
The gravity, the lack of gravity stuff, right? Yeah. The wrench. Oh, there's a bolt. Oh, there's a water bottle. Yeah. So the water bottle's spinning in space, but every time it flips over, you hear sploosh because of the water.
yeah. It's some pretty sweet 3D Studio Max work going on there.
What? Here's a question. What video game would you compare those early scenes inside the Event Horizon to? Like, what level of
Sewer
of
Shark.
Animation?
Sewer Shark. No,
but what level of animation? Like, would you compare it to the first, I don't know, Crisis? It was worse than that. No, it wasn't that good.
No, way worse
would
than
you
that.
Compare it?
I'm talking like PS1 era is what it reminded me of, which it literally was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have said,
I thought it was better than that.
Well, it's definitely better than that, but it's not, it's stiff and it's pretty lifeless. And if anything, it reminds me of older movies we've done here on the show.
It was very stiff and lifeless. And, but it was an effective tool. So instead of having to float the characters to convince you there was no gravity, they just floated objects. And it was very inexpensive to do that. So I think it was good at the time, but it just hasn't aged well.
Yeah, it just looks like it was made a long time ago. But then there were other times where some of the exterior shots, that stuff looked fine.
I'll tell you what it reminded me of, and this is a stretch, but it reminded me of Gran Turismo 2.
Oh, wow.
like good, like you, when the game came out, you're like, oh, well, look at these cars.
Yeah,
and now you look back at it, like, why are they so shiny? They're so reflective. And that was this, like, where's all the light sources on this fluid that's floating around?
That fluid was bad. When there was blood, come on now.
Oh my gosh, when they first went in that one place and she's all like, oh, there's blood. I'm like, there's not blood. It looks like a butcher's floor or something. It looks horrible.
It looked real bad. And when the stuff was like floating in no gravity, I'm like, where is Roger Rabbit now? What is he doing? Because that's what this is. Okay, couple tropes, final tropes I noticed. Everybody cracks wise after you get out of the cryogenic freeze. You can't just get out and go, phew, I'm good. I'm slept well. Okay, let's move. It's always like getting out and rapping and rhyming and teasing each other.
You've been spending that entire time in stasis thinking of the best jokes to make once you come out of it.
Yeah, love that. I also like the wimpy doctor comes aboard, can't deal with all this. He's too wimpy to be a military man, but is only interested in his creation and then becomes, too wrapped up in its power and all that.
Did you guys notice a lot of rhyming when they first started checking ship stuff?
Oh, I may have recorded a bunch of it too.
Yeah, there was a bunch of rhyming and cleverness.
Yeah, I hate that. It's kind of like a-holes and elbows. I mean, it's all alien. The Aliens movies, especially Aliens, as far as the smack talk goes, that's like the template, and everyone else does that template now.
Right.
It's like, hey, you got to have wise cracking joke telling time. Right. Because you just got out of cryogenic freeze, and it's always unisex. Everybody's walking around in their bras and panties. We're hanging out, working together. It's,
including the dudes.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Walking around in their bra and panties. So what's up with Lawrence Fishburne always being like a step behind everything? Because he's always all the way across the ship. Everything. Every time something happens, he's like...
The whole "we should all split up because we don't know what's going on" trope.
Right.
So stupid.
Stupid. It's stupid, but necessary. You're not going to have it all happen at once in one room, though. You know what I mean? Like
but I'm just saying, like, you still end up with the haunting and the conversion of people into demons if they all stick together.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just think it would be way more interesting because they'd be interacting with each other as it happens.
Now, you guys probably couldn't have heard it, but when Brian said "what's up," and before he said "with," he had like a weird pause there.
Right.
The lightning, I heard a giant thunderclap outside my window right when you did that. That was weird. That felt like a trope in itself, but it really happened.
Oh, sci-fi trope that I hate
Yeah.
The most. There's no safe instrument panel on any spaceship ever. Right. They all are filled with explosives.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, that seems like they've got C4 lining underneath the whole thing under the console.
Push one wrong button and it's a stream of sparks shooting at your eyes.
I can't get a consensus. Welder. There's no way I'm going to get a consensus from you guys, am I, about the black dude jumping the shark when he came flying back in on top of the whatever it was into the window. That nobody's going to be cool with that. Oh, no, yeah. It's not. It's the Han Solo moment where you assume he's long gone. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's blow this thing to Kingdom Come, kid, or whatever.
Even does the Han Solo. Yahoo!
Oh, I wanted to leave. I wanted to get up and go, I don't remember this being in my movie. That was terrible.
No, but you got to like his thinking like, all right, I'm going to blow my oxygen tanks and just fire myself at the ship.
Yeah,
hopefully right. I won't miss.
What's so awesome about it is it subverts one of the best tropes in all of movies, which is the black dude dying first.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. So great.
That's true. Didn't he live throughout then, right?
No. Yeah.
He made it to the end, didn't he?
Did he?
It depends on how you interpret the end.
I'm sorry. He did. He did make it to
the
end.
How do you interpret the end, though?
I don't think they were ever out of freeze. I think the whole thing happened.
Oh, my God. Are you Minority Reporting me so that he's still asleep or something?
I think that's what happened, and it makes me a little mad.
He just had a hallucination, and it's just a little shock thing, like, oh, no, it's over. Or is it kind of thing? No, it's over.
I think they tumbled out of those tubes, and Sam Neill's still in one of them, and they all dreamt the whole damn thing.
Because that's what I want to know. Who's the third person? There were three people in the tubes.
Justin's the third tube.
Justin got sucked out with his
eyes.
That's
right. But then Lawrence Fishburne brought him back in, remember? Because he grabbed him.
He
was flying across space back into the airlock.
That makes sense. Yes. I kept trying to figure out who that was. That makes sense.
So yeah.
Okay, yeah. But Scott, if it was your ending, there's such a better way to play that.
Look, I don't have a problem with your description. I'm just saying that would have been a thing for the devil hole to pull off. Like this whole thing of like, it's space madness. They're just all having space madness, and space madness is whatever's in your head is in your head. Right. Ambiguous. Like, what the hell happened at the end?
In your ending, all they've got to do is show everybody or most everybody coming out of stasis, and they're actually on their small ship and they're approaching the event horizon for the first time.
Yeah.
And then like that, then you're like, whoa, they dreamed the whole thing and now it's about to happen.
Yeah,
for
now it's going to recycle itself. It's terrible. It's the circle of life and death, and it's terrible. That's kind of what I came away with, but it might have been I just saw Room 237 before I saw this. And that movie made me think everything is a message. So don't worry about me over here. All right, let's get to some clips. We got some clips.
Yeah.
Clippage. And they begin with this one. But speaking of thunder, which I'm having a ton of here locally right now, there was a lot in that. There was a lot of thunder in that movie.
Yeah, in the space clouds.
A little thunder, a little lightning.
Neptune's clouds.
Yeah, some space thunder. All right,
Brian
here is.
Brian Dunaway just harkened back to the rundown. That was funny.
Nice one, Brian. Here is a scene where everyone's rhyming. So this is right after cryogenic freeze. This is what Dunaway talked about. Here you go.
Someone drops the ball, we get the call. Now, let's go. Have you got a course plotted in?
Yes, sir.
Locked and cocked and ready to rock.
Mr. Justin?
Everything's green on my screen, Skipper.
Dude, they did it three in a row in the same scene. That wasn't me editing either, by the way.
You didn't have to edit that out.
No.
That was all one continuous scene. Yep.
It
was crazy.
It reminds me of when the Ghostbusters get really comfortable with what they're doing and everything they say, is like a locked and...
Yeah,
knocked in the box or whatever.
Locked and knocked in the box.
Something like that, yeah.
Nice.
I can't think of the example, but I mean, it was something they did.
Well, there's more. There's 2 seconds more of rhyming. Here's more.
Ooh, it's time to play Spam in the Can.
There you go, another one.
Wow, he is so good.
No, he's not. That's not good. What he did is not good.
He elevates the whole thing.
Oh, you mean de-elevate. I agree then.
No, I don't.
Oh, that's
I like,
what you meant?
I like him too, yeah.
All right, fine. I just didn't like his brand of he's the funny guy in this movie. Let's see. Dr. Grant freaks out. So here's some of that.
I'm waiting.
Oh! Wow.
Waiting.
Yeah, he was working up to a big push.
Here's Morpheus being a bit of a jerk.
Yes, sir.
Why aren't you on the bridge?
Do you mind if I get dressed first?
As a matter of fact, Lieutenant, I do mind if you get dressed first. Let's go, people. We have a job to do.
Jeez.
Naked.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. Keep your underwear on.
I have a naked job to do. I do mind if you get dressed first.
I've seen you plenty naked on Nip Tuck. It's nothing I haven't seen before. Get on the bridge.
Is she naked on that a lot?
Well, no. But, right. Close to it. I mean, as naked as you can get on whatever it was, FX.
You know, Nip Tuck was lessened in its in my enjoyment of it when I found out that one of its co-creators created Glee. Is it weird for a co-creator of something to retroactively diminish the quality of something previous to it? Because I hate Glee that bad that I now don't like that as much as I used to. That's a good show.
You know. No, because it doesn't have that effect on me. So it just must be you. You must be the only one to ever experience this thing.
Also, who's buying Nip Tuck's like DVD collection and caring about that long term? Isn't that just a thing you watch once and then throw it away?
Exactly.
I always wonder about those things. Like I understand that the X-Files was great, but try to watch it now and you're just like, there's no fixing this. It doesn't look good. So
some
like,
of it. Season one's real. You're right. I think you get a couple seasons into that and that show still kind of holds up. The early stuff, though, is bad.
But I'm talking about just putting it on your 65-inch high-definition television. And like, and you're going to get that on DVD? Oh, my God. Like, yeah. No. Would spend that money?
Your sweet 4:3 aspect ratio. And,
yeah,
I feel bad for shows like that. Although, I mean, that next-generation Blu-ray treatment's pretty sweet, and it's still 4:3.
And see, and I can't, you know, I certainly can't disparage that. I went and bought the whole Quantum Leap series on DVD. Totally happy with that purchase.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I just got the Andy Griffith Blu-ray in, and it's fantastic.
What? Shut up. There's no such thing.
Are you serious?
Oh, I wish you were serious. I'd go buy that, all that commentary. Well, this is the scene when I'll be Ron Howard. No one else is alive.
Well, Warren.
Yeah. Everybody else has died. All right. Another great line from Fishburne.
The funky spaceman over here is Mr. Cooper.
I just would like that part.
Mr. Cooper.
The funky spaceman.
Space,
here's some angry acting, this week's angry acting edition.
This is not physically possible.
Doctor, please, please, don't start in with that physics shit. I'm telling you, I saw it.
I saw it.
I saw it. That's okay. You can't get him for being funky no more than you can get Sam Neill and the other two British guys on there who were kept saying lore of physics. The lore.
The lore of physics.
Yeah, lore of physics.
Boy, there's a trope of freaking the doctor. He's not really a doctor, but he's plenty of doctor. Like, he's more doctor than any doctor could ever be.
He's plenty of doctor.
You know what I mean? Like,
I like that.
Like Stu in The Hangover. Everybody keeps making fun of him for being a dentist, but then he has to do doctor things all the time.
Oh, yeah, The Hangover. Still haven't seen it. I know.
Really?
I know.
1, 2, or 3?
We talk about this all the time. I've never seen The Hangover. I still haven't. Not since the last time it came up on this show. Here's something I'm going to refer to Brian Ibbett as every day. So here you go.
Dick Smith.
There you go. Dick Smith.
Dick Smith.
Dick Smith.
Sure. Dick Smith.
Dick Smith.
Just over there constructing wangs.
Just building a dick.
I grew up, my father was a Dick Smith and his father before him. We've been making dicks since the 1700s. All right. Let's see.
Pass me that iron rod.
And me an iron rod and that fleshy substance next to it. We're making a dick. I am home is this one.
You just get your gear and get back on the Lewis and Clark, Doctor, or you'll find yourself walking home.
I am home.
Oh, jeez.
Mm. Yeah, they really
walking
called
home in space.
Really called upon Sam Neill to do a lot of slow, breathy talking.
Yeah.
Really self-importance.
He's creepy, though. He's naturally creepy. And like I think it was Dunaway said earlier, and I agree with this, you put him in Jurassic Park and there's a fatherly quality to him. Mm-hmm. And that weird breathy slow thing is pushed in that direction. But you put him in something like this, the exact same affectation, the exact same pacing, and yet somehow he's the creepiest guy on the ship.
Yeah. He does it.
Yeah. How about this one? Someone stuttered, I think.
What?
Okay, yeah.
That was great.
I think, I don't remember the context, but it reminded me of, for some reason, this reminds
should
me.
Should we cut that? No. Leave it in.
This is why I called him JJ from Good Times in space, because that kind of thing happens so much in this movie.
Yeah. It's more like, I don't know, who is the Drummond kid in Different Strokes. What's his name? Gary.
Arnold.
Gary.
Arnold. Arnold. Gary Coleman.
He's the Gary Coleman of this film. All right.
Kind of.
Here is the grossest.
What are you talking about, Sam Neill?
Here is the grossest sound from the movie. All right, and maybe the grossest sound on this show since we've started it. So here you go. Ugh, gosh, dude. Yeah. So wow. Give that guy a glass of water or something.
What? Right. When was that? What's the context of that, that noise?
He was talking to Smeagol.
No. Wait. I'm trying to remember when he did it and who it was. He was. Oh, I think it was Justin. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember now.
Right. Yeah, when he was blowing out blood everywhere.
Right. In the airlock.
The airlock.
I think that's right.
With the closed button so conveniently next to the open button.
Yeah. Those are great. Clearly marked and huge.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, that reminds me, the cryo chambers that they're in, do you just have to bang on the glass and it opens?
That's right.
Wouldn't that be a bad thing to have while you're sleeping? Like,
I don't know.
It's like a really bad thing.
They really gave you that impression. Like the whole thing is just ready to open if you just touch it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
I had a dream. I was selling Girl Scout cookies. I knocked on the door and here I am laying here all wet and naked.
Can we get eggs that way? Cause that would be awesome.
That would be good.
If you just pulled an egg out and just tapped it with the flat of your finger and yeah, out it came.
Something about, I don't know what this in here. I'll just play it.
What happened to your eyes?
Where are we going? We won't need eyes to see.
Oh, there's that. We won't need eyes to see.
Christopher Lloyd.
I'm glad for the words.
Where we're going, we don't need eyes.
Exactly. What happened?
That's great.
Jerks.
Oh, I even captured.
What happened to your eyes?
It's sexy, dude.
Mm. It is.
Hubba, hubba. Morpheus, go back to Zion. All right, here we go. I hate this sound. Here's the sound I hate. Okay, that sound of when fire kicks in, and they use it in all movies. It's like a free sound clip all of Hollywood has access to. Hey, we need the sound of a backdraft big old flame up. What do you got? It's that shoo thing. I hate it so much.
Wow.
You know what was the most disappointing visual effect in this movie?
What?
The fire after Lawrence Fishburne explained it so exquisitely and how it looked in space and how awesome it was, and then they rolled that piece of crap out.
Right.
You didn't think that held up to the...
Just like some fire somewhere. It didn't like fire in space at all.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, because it didn't have the fire go shooting through, like... So he's running to get through the meat grinder tunnel and dive through the opening, and then the fire is chasing him, and then the little meat grinder, the door closing, sends the little fire streak through the...
laser fire.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of physics going on there that don't exist in our world. Right. It was hellfire. All right, some bad...
Fire squirt.
Here's some bad... I've had those, dude. I've had those. Morpheus acting badly.
No! You see?
No! They're not dead!
I'm pretty sure that's not even him.
That was added in post?
Yeah, VO from some production dude, is my guess. And then Fletcher, once again.
Where we're going, we won't need eyes to see.
That's pretty great. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. And ladies and gentlemen, that leads us to this. It's the film sack checklist. Pick off everyone one by one. Check. Overuse of the floating water CGI tech of 1997. Check. Hanging Lucius Malfoy up and letting his guts spill out. Check. And finally, big, overbearing, stupid-looking engine that looks... Or what? Engine thing that is overdramatic. Check. Absolutely. Star Trek connections. Daryl didn't find one.
What?
Not a one.
That's hard to believe.
Now, for a while, his thing was busted. His little machine, his little virtual machine that lets him find Trek connections. Because he sent us one for the run. He was like, no, the rundown doesn't have anything. I'm like, dude, The Rock was in Voyager.
I know, The Rock.
Yeah, so he's fixing that. But I don't think this movie was one that was busted. It just literally, there are no, like Sam Neill was never on Star Trek. There are no stunt actors in Star Trek. It's in space. There's your connection.
I was about to say, it's in space, right?
It's in space.
Nothing from Jack
Surely
Nose-worthy?
It must be.
Nope. Noseworthy, nowhere near, not Trek-worthy. That's what they say about him. By the way, Jack, he's our age, by the way, Jack Noseworthy.
Yeah, he was in Barbed Wire. He was in Encino Man.
Mm-hmm. Of course he was. Some teenager in that. He has permanent teenage face.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
Weird.
He looks like the lead singer of Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so creepy. When you see his IMDb photo, you're like, wow, dude, sing for me.
You know I hate the name of that band, though.
I know you do.
Fun. Why did they do that?
It's terrible. Fun, like, with a period. F
they
that.
Would be so much more popular in my home if they had named themselves something else.
I agree. Anything else. Lizard's A-hole, chicken pot pie, anything.
But turkey pot to- pie sounds like... actually, you're just making me hungry.
But Fun? So dumb. All right. Soundtrack, great. I'd give it a KND for kind of nondescript. It was all right. Pretty good for most of it. But, you know, there's nothing there that...
I just want to say again, I really liked the soundtrack, the score to this film.
All right.
I really enjoyed it.
We should get these every time or find a way to... I don't know. People can go buy them, I guess. Who knows? Can you go to, like, Amazon and say, yeah, I'm looking for the...
yes.
Event Horizon soundtrack.
I will tweet a link to acquire the soundtrack to this thing. I really like the score of this movie.
Well, it's time for you guys to do what you do best, and that is sum this thing up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Event Horizon, the movie about which Roger Ebert said, and I'm quoting, "The screenplay creates a sense of foreboding and afterboding, but no actual boating."
Is that an actual quote?
I
love that.
Well put.
That's well done.
That's awesome.
I miss Roger Ebert.
Mm-hmm.
He should still be here. Ebert? Brian Dunaway.
All right. Event Horizon. Proving you can't punch evil, you have to hit it really hard in the back of the head with a baseball bat. Even then, results may vary. Also, explosive decompression.
Oh, good Lord.
Gonna have some of that myself.
Nicely said. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Event Horizon. Two in the box, ready to go. We be fast and they be slow. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was the quote from Ghostbusters where they rhyme. All right. Event Horizon, a gateway to hell on the most poorly designed ship ever. And if you pass through that spinning ball to the underworld, you awaken in a theater showing Event Horizon.
Weird.
I think you could be a professional writer of 140 character or less movie tweets. I really do. Good.
Do it.
All right, let's finish it up with the alternate title. I'm being handed the envelope now. What is it? Hold on, I can't find my thing for it. There it is. Eddie Murphy Wasn't Available. That's the name of this film. Hey, guys, emails. Got one here from Tom Walter, who has two first names, and says this. Hey, guys, for what it's worth, I created the unofficial film sack movie list on IMDb. Why do I feel like we've done this one before?
Oh, really?
I'm having deja vu. Anyway, says he's excited about the possibility of us sacking Days of Thunder. I can't wait to see about Randy's experience as a former stock car racer.
Okay, we did hear that one.
Did
before.
We hear now this one?
Yeah, when you said that second part, it's like, oh, yeah, I totally remember that.
Why do I
Because I almost made that same joke again. Yeah, the carpool.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I was a pit crew for a...
True story.
Weird. Okay, well, let's do this one. Tell me if this sounds familiar. M. Sandberg. That sounds familiar already.
So far, so good.
Who, Randy Sandberg?
How could you miss the mention of the main rebel dude, Karate Fighter? I was so looking forward to hearing the line, boy, 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 the tiny child prince in Red Sonja. Oh, well, I guess I put it down to you getting old and forgetting the movie pain you forced your loyal fans to watch, M. Sandberg. That doesn't sound familiar, and I'm not sure what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Boy, I really screwed these up today.
Was that an email for FilmSack?
Yeah, FilmSack one. Really weird. All right, Ken Larson, here's a real one.
All right.
Hello, FilmSack guys. Let me start by saying this is my favorite podcast, and thanks to the wit and opinions of you fine gentlemen, it's starting to sound familiar again. Anyway, I'll keep going. I know that your month of horror is coming up, and I wanted you to know that how we watch the Paranormal Activity movies. I swear we've read this. Have I read this?
No, I think you got a serious case of deja vu.
I am really having it bad. There's a cat that showed up twice, too. What's going on with that? Right. This is a two... Man, it's because Lawrence Fishburne's in the show today, and I can't help it. This two-person procedure, I think he meant it is a two-person procedure. My wife and I will sit on the couch watching the movie with the remote sitting between us. So when one of us sees something creepy, we will grab the remote, pause it, and rewind it to make sure others don't miss the scene. This goes right along with the movie since they are constantly fast-forwarding the movie already. Anyway, love the show, Ken Carson. That's an interesting way to deal with my terror. Perhaps if I make it more of a joint effort with my wife and I.
Right.
She won't watch. She hates horror movies. I can't do that to her. Why would I do that to her? I hate her rom-coms, so we watch these separately. It's the way it goes. She's up there
you
right now.
You watch rom-coms with her?
Listen, she's up there right now watching something with
Failure to Launch?
Sandra Bullock?
No, it's got the dude from Grey's Anatomy. What's his name?
Oh, McDreamy?
Sphincter McPants. Whatever his name is. I can't think of his name. What's his name?
Patrick Mikey.
Patrick Dempsey.
Dempsey, yeah.
Yeah, she's up there watching something with him and the girl with the cones and the rods episode of Star Trek with Wesley. What's her name? The Judd. Ashley Judd. They're up there watching something they're in together.
Yeah, that's right. What was that? Sweet Home? No,
no,
not Sweet
that's
Home.
The other one with Chin Girl.
You try to figure it out through much nerdier.
It's the only way I can do it. All right, our next movie, Reanimator, next week.
What? Stop. What?
Jeffrey,
what are you watching next?
Jeffrey Combs, the ultimate Star Trek connection in The Reanimator. That's next week right here on FilmSack, continuing our month of horrible horror movies.
Well, don't watch it with horror. The kids or anyone who might be a little freaked out by nudity.
Let's just say this. We didn't know. I didn't know that. I can't speak for everybody, but I did not know going into this that it would be quite as graphic as it is on all counts. Like, it's bloody, it's stupid, and it's very gratuitous nudity. So if you are not into that and have no, you know, watch these things with your kids normally or something weird like that, I would just make sure you're cool with it first and read some reviews about that part of it, because it is whoo.
So you're saying I shouldn't watch this with my mother?
Yes. No way you should watch it with your mom. Poor lady. All don't right. make her do that. Even without that nudity, I'd say don't.
I think you're almost making me want to watch it with my mom because you're telling me not to.
Well, that's the way we rebel. Anyway, it's Reanimator next week. We're going to take the bullet. But if you can stomach it, do watch it. But just be warned, it's a little rough. 1985's Reanimator. All right. That's it. Let's get out of here. Go to the website. Support us there. It's a place you can do stuff. FilmSack.com is the place to go. You can also email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Always happy to read your feedback here on the show. On Twitter, we're @FilmSack. Twice. Big thanks out there to Scott Fletcher, who does fantastic stuff for us. I don't thank him enough, so here's a chance for me to do that. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are downloaded. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.
Motherboards. So many motherboards.
So many glowing green ones.
Dick Smith.
The guy that played Ra on Stargate has his genitals taped. Like, how do you explain that to your mother?
I am pissed about Perseus. Oh.
I've seen Randy's nipples up close because we did that hot tub episode. But Harry Hamlin has a disability as far as I'm concerned.
You can get a little handicap sticker and everything.
Yeah, dude.
I'm chafing really bad on this shirt. I can't walk too far.
I'm cracked and bleeding. I need to park near the mall's entrance. I think it's like taking a piece of gold and jamming some poo in it.
Cathode ray tubes. Tell me now. Where are your cathode ray tubes?
Masturbation joke.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Seriously, thanks, step Bruce. Off. She's
maybe
not
so.
She's not a douche like everyone else again.
Maybe so.
She's had her douche period.
Hi, it's Winona Ryder.
This is the
I'm
scene.
Available.
I can see David Bowie's wiener in those tights.
Hey, prepare to be assimilated. You got $70?
Must come down. Spinning wheels.
Nobody wants a good sackality. It's like, someone please kick Shatner in the testicles hard with a steel-toed boot.
I'd rank Independence Day a little bit better than this. Godzilla.
Here's just a piece of the audio from the dance bar. I think people appreciate it. No. All right.
That actually, you know what? That actually inspired the funniest line that was not in the movie but was said in my living room, which is, you know, like, that's when I came up with the thing I introduced the show for, you know, the whole, well, how, man, she's got to be confused at urinals. And Samantha goes, nah, urinals are easy.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
Wow.
What, how do you, I don't understand. And she's like, oh, you got to stand straight with your feet, you know, about a foot apart and get your pants all the way down. And then you really tilt your pelvis forward. And I'm like,
pictures didn't happen.
That's how I do it.
Where could you have possibly learned this? And then she says, oh, the Tyra Banks show.
I'm sorry. I'll have it in my head. I'm picturing Randy having some woman over Randy's table saying, you will put the apostrophe in the proper place
or I will kill you.
No, that's exactly that. You just, man, her name was Miss Schaefer. Miss Schaefer.
Yeah.
And whew, oh man, I still have nightmares.
Wow. In the book they say melange like every 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it makes me want to find a Frenchman and kick him in the nuts.
Oh.
Melange.
That is a spicy melange. Who is supposedly the guy that did the first warp trip that made the Vulcans go and come back and talk to us.
Look at them humans.
Hey, what the hell is that?
If somebody gave me pork while I was trying to party, I would totally rape their girlfriend.
Keep it going. Got it. Here it is.
That there had to be this, like, cosmic suck, void, death, what makes you want to stab yourself in the eye movie to kind of balance it out.
Yeah, it had to be, the scales had to be even. And so something big and horrible had to be on the other side. And that was Street Fighter the movie.
Rearrange the letters and you get shit gratifter.
I would really, I'm with Scott Johnson, though. I would like this type of music to have a name, like Funktronic.
Man, it's like Oreos. They wrap them in crunchy sounds, but then they also put them in a tray that makes that sound.
I know, it's the worst. It's recycled from noise. It's like they just somehow, somebody somewhere is recycling noise into packaging these days. But he literally, like, he was like, all right, I'm pissed. Esta aquí, whatever. And he went over to the other side of the room, took the lid off the big, because they kept the beans, these refried beans, in big Rubbermaid cans. And he would take the lid off this, you know, otherwise sterile can, got up on top of it like some kind of freak and took a dump in the beans.
Something about eating off a wooden spoon like that just freaks me out.
That's what bugs you, really.
That's what bugs me. That's what does it for me.
Oh.
Those little wooden spoons.
That doesn't even, I've never even thought that it was possible for a person to dislike that, much less.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't like them either. It's
why
like,
would you lick wood? Who does that?
Well, that's the Disney vault bit, right? The Disney said, hey, check it out, Blu-ray, boom. Film Sack, the Richard Boner cut.
Brian Dunaway say, I've got a bullet in my wang and it hurts like hell. Thank he can also jump up onto a countertop and squash things with his balls.
All I know is if you want to shut a teenage guy up, have sex with him. He'll stop asking questions immediately.
Especially if you're Jamie Gertz.
Which co-stars Kiefer Sutherland?
Worst use of a mammal award, Keanu Reeves.
It's a circle of life, Simba.
Mm. Where are you, Ashton Kutcher? Make it happen.
Ashton Kutcher? Did you just say Ashton Kutcher?
What is it really? It's Ashton.
I don't care anymore. That's awesome.
Isn't it Ashton Kutcher?
Yes, Ashton Kutcher.
Two S's.
Yeah, but what is it normally?
Ashton.
It's not Ashton, is it?
Ashton.
Yeah, it's Ashton. Oh, it's Ashton.
Booby slave, retrieve me my Mingo phone. I need to contact Flash Gordon. I hear he's on his way in his penis-shaped rocket.
What the crap?
Dum 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 dum. Okay, I'll stop. You know, Steve Buscemi, boobs though are always good. It's like always good.
It doesn't matter.
Not sometimes good. They're always good for me. You know,
throw some boobs on Steve Buscemi, you're good to go.
Yeah, you'd be all right. But you know, I'm not a fan of boobs you can tie behind your back.
Not they're moist. I don't want people touching my moist nuts. She looks like she just plucked a nose hair the whole time. I mean, you're just waiting for her to just start crying.
What a weird thing to
that
think.
Is awesome.
I love that.
That is true.
When the solution to all your problems is bring everybody together and sing, you haven't figured out a solution.
Yes. No,
when you are basically in your sci-fi comedy film invoking the Care Bears, you've screwed up.
Yeah. It's the Father Guido Sarducci virus.
Totally.
Let's give it the worst Italian accent we can come up with. Five at anchors.
Five at anchors out in the ocean.
Hold on a second. It's so stupid. All right.
Oh my God. Scott's got the giggles. Scott's got the giggles.
All right.
Dude, that is so funny.
Nice.
That is so stupid.
I have never heard Scott get the giggles in my life.
Oh, no.
It only happens once in a while. I've always imagined Patrick Stewart has...
That he's a gentle lover.
I think he... No.
Oh, my God.
His breath.
Oh, my God.
His breath. Try to imagine what Captain Picard's breath is like.
Like a
minty fresh.
No.
Oh, I was thinking like a pork barbecue. You know, like when pork fat gets good and seared over an open flame. You know,
no. Maybe. I think it's more like a chicken bouillon cube in the corner of his mouth is always just in there like a lozenge. I'm on IMDb.
Above the law. In this gritty action thriller. From director Andrew Davis, martial arts expert, and the Chicago Vice cop, Nico Toscini! Played by Steven Seagal, who also co-wrote the script, takes on CIA operatives who are allowing drug trafficking into North America!
What's going on?
Nico's superiors tells him to back off his investigation! And the agency's connection to Latin American drug lords.
Usually you have this right speed. Yes.
Putting his family's lives at risk. Pam Grier. Sharon Stone. And Henry Silva. Hello, star.
Guys, I have a handful of mashed potatoes for a left eye. I'm not kidding. It's a tightly wound ball of monkey shit just jammed into my socket with like a stick. It's the worst. If it was a trope before, it's like they chewed it up and blasted it out of their anus onto a wall and said, there's your trope. Normal. Gun in the mouth, bang!
And then you had the super complainy butthole women that wouldn't do anything unless right. they had a lawyer with them.
I'm going to open up a donut shop and call it the Glory Hole. I bet it's going to be a idea. Success.
One day back in 1997, I was standing right in front of a woman in Walgreens, and I farted.
Commander Chipotle, I'd like some cheese and sour cream on that, please.
Are you out of black beans, Commander Chipotle?
I would like to know what it will cost me to get a pair of Scott's old jeans and cut them down to shorty shorts.
Oh, let's do it.
Convince him to wear them.
Let's do it. You know what? I'd do it for I'd do it for charity. Let's do a good charity.
Do it for charity.
Yeah, I'll do it for charity.
Oh, this is a great idea.
Oh, I don't know.
We're going to do a photo spread of Scott Johnson in shorty shorts.
You're going to have to pay money to go benefit the people who accidentally saw you in shorty shorts.
RuPaul Subway. Sandwich artist.
Yes.
Every time you mention Joe Dirt, Randy has a minor orgasm.
It's the worst movie ever where every scene is amazingly good.
Yes. Let's go live now to our lesbian correspondent, Brian Ibbett. Brian Ibbett in the field, you want to report on this lesbian activity?
Yes, Jennifer. I'm above Jennifer Beale's house right now.
You shall not pass.
Transporters drive from place to place.
It got an R rating from the MPAA because they are not consistent. Oh, well, because they hate someone like Mike Judge making a film like Idiocracy, and they're a bunch of stick up their ass jerks.
My dog's humping a Yoshi doll over here. That's a Christmas miracle in its own right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you don't say when you see TCS in a script. It is you don't pronounce it. Desk, you go.
Desk. Let me enunciate.
You guys, you Lee brothers have caused me problems for the last time. Stop. Like collaborate and listen.
Bad.
You're the best. I built a cockroach, honey, and I'm still not pregnant. All right, let's go.
Oh, see, now I'm walking into a Scott Johnson analogy.
Right.
It's like...
It's all right. Give it a shot. It's nice in here. Water's fine.
It's like saying you hate anime because you don't like eating at Benihana's.
Wow, that was a great Scott Johnson analogy. Wow.
That's beyond the pale.
You deserve an award for that.
Crap. He still had... the eyebrows of Cher's crotch. I mean, just giant flowing. Right.
Oh, I thought that was the governor.
When he was feeling it with his dad and kind of feeling bad, I thought he was all right.
If my grandma had a penis, she would be a man.
My grandmother had testicles. She'd have taste buds.
Like Lion People versus Mark Hamill. I can't remember the name of the game. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on, no. Let's just call it Lion People versus Mark Hamill. That's amazing.
What is wrong with me?
You kill a puppy or Morgan Freeman in your movie, and I am touched. Touched.
Man, that's great. Oh, it's like Grandpa cut one off.
Brian Ibbett has spoken. He likes the pussy galore.
Yeah, so police, and everybody came to solve this kid's life problems. He was the biggest idiot I ever met.
I love the way the police sound like the guys dancing on a float in a gay pride parade. Just now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm going to go to college after this, unless I die by train.
I see the problem, Randy. You were thinking. This movie is not about thinking. This movie is about feet.
Look at these dreams. Look at my face.
Little Mermaid, yeah. Little Mermaid, thank you. Anyway.
I have no vagina unless I get human legs.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!